John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
We did well today, didn't we, in the stifling heat?
I think we've done very well considering how warm it is. I think we lost our minds in a couple of places, possibly.
There's
I don't know if the listener
places.
Will be able to detect the moments where we've lost our minds with heat.
Getting to that final hour of the show, sometimes the energy can flag depending on what the in-studio snacks have been this week. You found real reserves of hatred for golf.
I don't know what it is about golf.
That spiced you right up.
I really, and I know there'll be loads of people going, I play golf, it's a great game, and it's not just for posh men, and
Yeah.
But I've just got a thing about it.
I feel the same about pickup trucks. I'm sure there are one or two decent people in the country who drive pickup trucks, but I've yet to meet them.
I feel the same about golf players as I do about Audi drivers. That's all you need to know.
I used to do a thing ages ago on the radio called Listener of the Week where you'd be nice about someone. Could I just say, if you are a golf-playing pickup driver, may I apologise for any besmirchment of your personality, but... We've made our judgment. It was a fun show. I hope you enjoyed. Very, very, very difficult smugness to take down this week.
Oh, yeah.
Went in a different direction. And some comeback for some meanness last week. All coming up on the podcast. Enjoy.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome along. Happy Saturday. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. It's hot. I've said it straight in. Isn't it hot?
You've got to agree. Oh. It is hot, isn't it? Hotter than some places, but not as warm as others. Now, we always start with a nod to those of you who weren't here last week. Not the cleanest show on the radio, but certainly the tidiest. So here is what you missed if you weren't with us last Saturday.
I know exactly what this is going to be.
Yeah.
I've squatted over a pot noodle. Knew it.
Yeah. Now, as well as admitting that on national radio, you also revealed last week, controversially, that you eat the core of the apple.
Yeah.
Left me absolutely dumbfounded. Turns out you are not the only person who eats the whole apple. Here's Marco.
Hi, John, and particular Angela. I'd like to congratulate you on the excellent way you consume an apple. Up till now, I've not known anyone else who eats an apple like I do, other than a character in a film who was potentially an alien. Thanks. Love the show.
Well, that's my smugness taken care of, isn't it?
You eat like an alien. I wonder what film that is.
Yeah, what film is there an alien eating an apple?
Men in Black is the only thing I can think of where someone's sort of pretending to be an alien.
Maybe.
I'm going to Google it later on. What film does an alien eat an apple? And I hope I don't get a response because it's better not to know. Now, we also last week tried to impress Charlie and Will, the young, as you speak for, with the staggering fact that the Lake District only has one lake. It's a fact I've said over 100 times to many, many people. Michelle has got in touch and she's not so sure that's true.
Hi, John. I just wanted to come back to something that was mentioned on the show last week. It was about there only being one lake in the Lake District. Me and my husband were driving up to Northumberland and we thought, that's not right, surely. The Lake District and Lake Windermere, the clue's in the name. Thanks, Michelle.
But it's not called Lake Windermere, is it? It's just Windermere because it's the mere is the water bit.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Go on, Angela.
Yeah,
on,
sorry, Michelle. And I love your accent, Michelle. I'd say you're Kent or Essex. You sound like me. But crucially, that means you're not a local to the lakes. And so I'd say John probably has the authority on this.
Yes. The minute I heard her accent, I thought you better have something up your sleeve here if you're going to question me. I heard you banging on about the Lake District. Oh, really? Well, it is. They're Mias. There's Derwent Water. There's many. There are waters and Mias, but I maintain the fact that Bassenthwaite is the only one which is officially a lake. But happy to have the debate continue. It's a sexy chat to have on a Saturday morning. So if you want to join in, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. I asked you earlier how you were. We sort of discussed this off air. I only want a one-word answer at the beginning because I'm in hosting mode where like everyone's arriving at the party and I'm like, oh, can I get your coat? There's the nibbles. Now we can relax a little bit.
No time for long chats at the welcome, right?
Everyone's in the house now. The CD's on. You've got 10 minutes to enjoy yourself before I start asking you to leave.
Aren't you now at the bit where you're handing out coasters?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no. Now that those weren't the party drinks, actually. That's the, my special Cherryade that is for. these are vegan. In fact, they're all vegan. So enjoy yourselves. What are you off already? All right. See you later. Then. Ta-da. So how are you actually, Angela? What have you been up to?
I'm good. It's been quite a nice week because I'm, you know, my little break in my tour. So it's been quite a quiet week work-wise. I'm getting a ferry tonight to Belfast to go and visit my mum. I'm taking my dog on the ferry for the first time. That's going to be exciting. I don't know quite what she'll make of it.
That's a joy for everyone else on the ferry.
They'll get to play with the little dog.
You just want to see a dog when you're on a ferry, I think.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to get fussed, isn't she? She's going to have the best time.
Tell me about her behaviour, because she's going to have had a long car journey and then a long ferry. Is she going to be a naughty doggy?
No, she'll be all right. She's quite good in the car. We give her lots of breaks, you know, to have a little run around and stuff. She'll beg people for hugs. She'll just go up to people on the ferry. She'll give them the puppy dog eyes until they think, oh, this poor dog must be really poorly looked after. I must give her some love. You know, she's very good at that.
Where are you going to stop then? You're going to stop at Beaconsfield, I would have thought.
I think Beaconsfield, probably.
Get yourself out of London.
So I'm going straight from the studio.
Yeah.
So my husband's going to do the M25 bit, which is quite nice. I don't have to do that.
Of course he is. Has he cooked an appropriate meal for the journey? Has he done his homework?
He was getting really excited this morning because he was going to buy some pork pies on the way. He does love a pork pie. And then I'll take over the driving maybe for a bit up to Liverpool.
You want to break the back of Birmingham then, don't you, I think?
Yeah.
You're not going to get all the way to Charnock Richard or somewhere like that, I don't think, are you?
I like Charnock Richard because that's the one that's really near Chorley Little Theatre, isn't it? It's just around the corner from it, yeah.
It sounds like a sort of...
And behind Charnock Richard Services, I believe there is an abandoned theme park. I've yet to go and try
Camelot.
And find it. Yes.
You've triggered a memory there.
There you go.
My dad took me to Camelot when I was young and we didn't go on anything.
Really?
I went all the way to Camelot, but I watched a joust.
Is that because you were too scared?
I was just trying to work out which century I grew up in. There was definitely a jousting competition.
I used to go watch jousting when I was a kid. Why was there so much jousting in the 80s? There was jousting everywhere.
This is not helping. Every week we're trying to convince Will and Charlie that there's not that much of an age gap between us. Describing knights charging at each other on horseback is not doing the job. So I had a gig on Wednesday night in Manchester.
Nice.
So I come back over the Snake Pass.
Lovely. Beautiful.
While you still
bit of the world,
can.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to close the Snake Pass.
Are they?
Well, there's talk about it soon because I'll tell you why. It's not fit for purpose.
Right.
So you get a few hundred yards and there's a big bit of the road that's just crumbled down into the valley and you think, we probably shouldn't be driving on this much longer. and it was one of them drives. There was a sheep that had got out, but that happens quite a lot.
Yeah.
A cat ran in front of me. A fox ran in front of me. I get round the corner and there's a giant, a huge shape. I think, is it a UFO? Is it somebody pulled out? It's a cow just wandering around next to the road.
Oh.
And I think back when I was Will's age, that sort of thing, that wouldn't interest me. I'd just think, well, it's only a cow, innit?
Yeah.
But now you become the sort of tedious middle-aged monster that wants to police these things. I got straight on to South Yorkshire Police non-emergency. And as soon as I picked off, I thought, oh, I should have planned what my first sentence is going to be here. Because I said, I don't know if I should be ringing you, actually, but there's a big cow on the Snake Pass. And I'm worried that someone's going to bump into it because people drive very fast. Mm. I did say all this to the police because I wanted them to think I was cool. And I said, oh, people drive fast. But it was very dark and it was a very big cow.
Yeah.
I was on the phone much longer than I intended to be. And I realise now I've said I phoned the police this week, the disappointment across the nation.
Police, because there was a cow on the road. I really hope some of my relatives in Newfoundland are listening to this because they have moose on their roads. Like, you have to, when you're driving on the motorway there, you have to be really careful with moose.
It's very dangerous to hit a big cow. It's dangerous for the cow and it's dangerous for the person driving. And it was very dark. But then they take all your details. They took my name and my address and my date of birth.
I bet the cow had long gone by the time they
Then you start to think, well, why, they're going to go back and the cow's not going to be there. Then am I going to get investigated for wasting police time?
Do you think that there's a burglary gone uninvestigated because they were busy looking for your cow? That's what I'm worried about.
Richardson's been on again. Apparently there's a very mean-looking vole down by the river.
Just grassing up wildlife. This is insane, it? John. Are you all right?
I don't know. It seemed the right thing to do at the time, and then now I've described it back. I think I've made a... There's an incident number now.
I say... Last week when I was in the lakes, right, and we were driving from Millham back to Bassenthwaite, and it's about an hour and a half drive, but it's very rural, and there were lots of sheep sleeping on the road, and we had to keep stopping to let animals... Never once did I think I'd better phone the police about this.
Oh, you've got to snitch these sheep right up, mate.
If you live in the countryside, you should be driving expecting there to be a cow on the road.
This cow was not in the countryside, and it was not... It had snicked through a fence. It was very near a 50-mile-an-hour limit road. It was near a rugby club. I don't know if it was going for a game the next day.
Do you know what I think happened? That's some rugby player prank. That's what that is.
Oh, do you think that's an initiation?
That's an initiation. Yeah, well, I reckon.
If I find out it is, they're getting grassed up as well. It's time for I Love You But.
I love this bit.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it is people being nice, isn't it? We have to be careful, because sometimes we play the message and then we piggyback on the message and we might be slightly rude or dismissive of people and you forget that they exist and they can get in touch with you.
Yeah.
You had a bit of follow-up last week, didn't you, when you told Adam to get a dog?
I did. Well, I said to Adam, because we were on Adam's side, I believe, last week, but he was in a house with two daughters and a wife who wouldn't listen when he tried to teach them how to close a door without slamming it.
Yes.
If you remember. And I told him he should get a boy dog so he's not so outnumbered.
Yeah.
Gender-wise in the house, you know. Anyway, he messaged me on Instagram and he said, "Hi, Angela, it was I that gave this week's dedication on John's show. Just to say, I fully agree, I am heavily outnumbered. However, I am not adding a dog as another member of this family to outrank me and expect me to clean up after it." Fair point, Adam, fair point.
Fair enough. Just proves you've got to be careful, haven't you? You've got to be careful. Yeah. So this week's I Love You But comes from Simon, and afterwards I should be very nice about all of it.
Hi, John. Thanks for giving me the chance to do the one and only dedication. This week, I'd like to nominate my son-in-law, Dominic. Love you to bits, Dominic, but give it up. 30 years trying to produce a band. I know you love it. I know you get around those festivals, but let's face it, a couple of the band only do it to get away from wife and kids. Love you to bits, but please, let's give it a rest and spend more time with my daughter.
Oh, he pulled that round at the end. We're making it sound like he wanted him to spend more time with his daughter. That was fairly sweet, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but you don't know. Like, maybe your daughter doesn't want to spend more time with him. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I genuinely think my marriage is a good marriage because I'm away a lot. Like, when that pandemic happened and we were locked together, I did think, uh-oh, this could be it. Like, we have never spent this much. Luckily, it was fine, but...
A lovely bit of chat to have before you drive the length of a country before getting on an overnight ferry.
I would say this to his face. He will listen to the podcast of this. We know that our own space is important in a...
Yeah.
Marriage, I think. And so, you know, maybe Dominic and your daughter Simon appreciate that space apart. Maybe the band is keeping the marriage happy.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the meanest we've had. Give up on your dream.
Yeah, right.
I don't mind it. We will dedicate a song to Dominic. Perhaps, Dominic, have a listen to the song. And if you think you're producing a band that can match this quality, carry on with your dreams. Otherwise, give up. But if you are going to give up, I think you have every right to then be miserable for the rest of your life, sour the marriage, and then at the very least you can go back to Simon and say, "Ha! I gave up on my dreams and now look, I'm miserable and I've made your daughter very unhappy." So who wins in the end? Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's a good play, John. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And you can find me on social media.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show. Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You listen to John Richardson and Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. It's the smuggest hour of the week, this one, yeah. Especially now. Imagine in this heat.
Oh, my goodness. So much smuggery.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be warm, so I got out early and I've done all my jobs.
Do you know the people I hate? The people who thought about this and made ice lollies.
Yeah.
They made ice lollies.
Yeah, from fruit.
From fruit.
With like, vitamins in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like good, healthy ice lollies. Do you know what's quite nice? Put grapes in the freezer.
And now, yes, yeah, Nigella does this.
Oh, really? Is that a Nigella thing? My friend Mark
Jamie?
Told me. It's Mark, my friend Mark Allen. He
told
me that.
Well, he's nicked it. Yeah, he's nicked that. He's nicked that off Nigella.
I'll tell him.
Or Jamie.
I thought he was a genius.
I did that. And I tell you what, I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't like it because she got me all riled up, Nigella, because she says they're almost like, it's almost like sorbet, she said. And I remember thinking,
that's not fair.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a very cold, hard grape.
Yeah, that, it is like a frozen grape. What she should have said was it's like a lot. It's more like an ice lolly than a sorbet.
It's not like an ice lolly. No, you can't say
it. It kind of is.
It's just like, if you put a grape in the freezer, it's exactly how you would imagine. The skin is still chewy. It's one of the most disappointed I've ever been. And I come from a generation where we watched a show called Why Don't You?
I love that show. Don't you dare take it down.
I watched a kid, his recipe, and he's on telly, this kid,
yeah.
At a time when I'm watching thinking, God, I'd love to do that kind of thing. How'd you get on? Why don't you? I'll tell you how you get on.
I don't think
you
there was much of an audition process.
Well, you slice a banana, you put it in an ice cube tray, you fill it with water, and then you put it in the freezer. And he went, oh, banana ice cubes. What an absolute waste of everybody's time. So what are you smug about this week, Angela? I just want to loosen up by bringing you down a bit.
Okay, fine. I've got two little ones this week.
Okay.
One is, this is the first, you know, I've been powerlifting.
100 kgs.
You know, yeah. I'm working towards it. I'm not there yet. I'm at 95, so we're getting there. But usually I have one session a week with my trainer, right? Mm-hmm. And this week I had two. Back to back, like, because I'm on a break from my tour. I'm having two a week now. And this is my first week of doing two a week. And I got two PBs. I got a squat PB and I got an overhead press PB. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah.
And my other one is I've got a publication date, although I'm not going to say it in case it moves, for my very first Guardian cryptic crossword being published.
Okay. Well, now listen. We've already done the Guardian cryptic crossword one.
Oh,
so
have
you can't
I done that
be
before?
Smug about it twice.
Oh, okay. I've
I think
done
you
that
were smug
it's
when
because I've got
it,
the date
asked
this
to do
time.
It.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
fine.
I'm not having that until it's in print. As far as I'm concerned, they reserve the right to get it in and say actually it's not cryptic enough.
Okay.
Have
fair
you had
enough.
One printed before?
No.
You want to be careful mouthing off about this big stuff on the radio.
That's true.
Just
they might just
everybody's
go, no, just to teach you a lesson.
Absolutely. I never assume I'm going to be even on the next link on this show. I end every link as if it's my last. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you
John
can
Richardson
tell,
John. On Absolute Radio. As for the first one, well, obviously, it's an improvement, isn't it? You're going to get that excited about exercising twice a week.
It's the lifting though, John. It's really, it is for me. Look at me. Do I look like I exercise twice a week?
No, it's fine. It's a good thing to do if you've been exercising once a week. I'm just saying, as a message for the nation, guess what I did this week? I exercised twice for the first time in my life.
Wait a minute. I do other exercise. It's just that I lifted heavy stuff twice a week. Two days running.
That's, so you did 2 days running
did
as well?
2 days. No, not 2 days.
Okay, right. So you didn't do any running?
I did no running. Zero running.
Well, congratulations. I think I've been mean enough there. So, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm just going for a little cry now. It's fine.
Are you going to step up to three times a week? Or is that too
I can't
much?
I can't afford it, John.
Okay. Now we'll get into it. I'll phone the police and get her to reduce her rates.
Okay, cool.
I've got a direct line now. Right, I'm going to be smug to one of you. This is the real challenge. Can I be mean to somebody I've never met who's achieved something
you
that they're happy
about?
Say
it's a challenge, John. You've never had a problem with it, once.
I thrive. I'm building up to being mean to people twice a week now. On the line now is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John.
Whereabouts are you?
Oh, I'm in Ireland here.
Ah, I thought I detected the accent. Whereabouts are you? I'm heading off to Belfast tonight.
All right, very good. I'm about half an hour outside Belfast in County Tyrone.
It's good because if I'm really mean to you, this could end in our first sort of face-to-face confrontation.
Yeah, I can go there tonight and...
Right, all right, let's do this. And the great thing is I'm not going to be in Ireland, so nothing bad can happen to me. So, Mark, what is it that you're smug about?
Okay, well, so I know recently you've been talking about Labyrinth.
Yes. Great.
So I love that film as well. So, like, it was a big part of my childhood and loved the soundtrack and Bowie and... his questionable trousers in the film.
But, yes.
You say questionable. Spray. I say eye-catching.
So, I'm an illustrator, and the thing that I'm smug about is a few years ago, I actually did a Labyrinth piece for a gallery in LA.
Wow.
And it was like a limited edition print run, and the complete edition sold out, except for one, which, as the artist, I got to keep.
Oh.
So my smug thing is I got to do artwork based on a film that I love, and it was sold out.
That's amazing. That's in LA?
In LA, yeah.
Did you get to go over to the exhibition?
I didn't, know.
Okay. Oh, all right, that's
John,
a shame.
John, take this down. Go on. Let's see you do this.
Wait, before you do. The one that I have left, because you're so passionate about the film, John, I want to gift that to you.
Oh, mate.
Oh! Take that down. Hang on a minute. I can take this down. Mark, this is really lovely, but this really wheezes on my worm. Like, for those listening that don't know quite what I mean by that, I crocheted, John, a little toy of the worm from the... Hello, worm from Labyrinth. And John was really pleased with that. But now... I mean, this print is just going to go in front of the worm on your shelf, isn't it?
I'm looking at it now.
It's going to compliment your worm because the worm's not featured in the illustration, so now you have the full
So now you've got the full set. Yeah.
You've got Hoggle on there. You've got Ludo on there. You've got Toby the baby. You've got Sir Didymus. You've got all the classics are on there.
It's beautiful.
It's
I'm looking at it now.
Piece. There's nothing mean I can say because you've done a wonderful thing and then been very kind. The whole point of this feature is to, I think, put some negativity back into the world. There's not enough of that.
Yeah.
There's stuff now about being kind to each other. And let's be mean and drag standards of behaviour up. So in the interest of putting a little bit of something unpleasant back into a world after you've done something kind... I am terrible at art. I'm probably the opposite of an illustrator. So if you tell me another film that you love in return for you sending me this wonderful piece of very talented artwork, I will make you a bespoke piece of artwork that you have to display in your house, and it's going to be
awful. Amazing.
And people are going to ask you about it. They're going to say, "What is that?" And you're going to have to say, "I just really like it."
They're going to say, "Is the baby been sick on the wall? Is that what's happened in your house?"
So other than Labyrinth,
can I put it up in the house? Or can I put it up in the studio?
Oh yes, put it in a studio. Oh, then I get to be a published artist. No, because you're turning this into something nice as well. Stop being nice to me, Mark. I don't deserve it. What?
So does
film
it go on
or...
display in my studio, or does it go on display like on top of the mantelpiece?
I'd love it on the mantelpiece. Even if you just send me a picture, I'll try not to.
What film is it going to be? What's your favourite film apart from Labyrinth, Mark? What can he ruin for you?
You could maybe try and ruin either Jaws or The Shining.
Oh
yes. Right, do you know what? I'm going to combine the two.
I cannot wait to see this.
I'm going to draw you a picture of the old lady in the bath, but coming out of the bathwater is going to be Jaws. And it's going to be absolutely terrible.
I instantly regret.
Well, then my work here is done. But thank you. That's incredibly generous. And the piece is wonderful. And congratulations. And good luck with all future exhibitions.
Cheers, thank you.
That was a real challenge, that one, the smugness.
Yeah, you were so happy with that gift. I think you're going to enjoy making your piece of art. I can't wait to see what you're going to do.
Well, do you want to, while that record was on, I have just done a little simple sketch of how I imagine the piece. It's a particularly upsetting scene in The Shining, so we won't go into detail.
Yeah, let's
about
not. I know exactly what scene you're talking about.
But I've done a little sketch of how I think it's going to look. So
I mean, it's accurate, I think.
It's vivid, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I won't forget it ever.
I think it's going to look lovely on his mantelpiece.
It is. I think you should actually do prints of it, John. I think you could sell them.
This could be the start of a very big thing for me.
Yeah.
This could be the start of a very big thing.
I feel a little online shop coming along.
I feel like that sort of comeuppance for last week, it was quite a straightforward smugness to take down, wasn't it? It was the guy who was basically rude about his neighbours.
Oh,
called everyone else on his street peasants.
That's right. Yeah, that was an easy takedown. So this was more of a challenge.
A lot more. He's a lovely fella, and he really is. Perhaps we'll put it on the... I'm going to say a young person
because you already
thing.
Called the music we just played a record.
Once that LP's finished, Will, why don't we upload that? We'll get the daguerreotype of that image and we'll put it on like the socials and stuff. Is it?
Yeah, thumbs up from Will. Yeah,
he looks slightly embarrassed that I exist, but that's absolutely fine.
He's got that face like when your mum says amazeballs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that that's the face he's giving you right now?
And we got through that link without anything embarrassing happening, because I always forget that the people listening can then contact you on social media. And every week after the news, we discuss things that weren't in the news that might have been in the news, that weren't in the news, that could or should have been in the news.
Yes.
It's not the slickest title feature on the radio. But yeah. Last week, we talked about the etiquette expert, Mr. William Hansen.
Mm. We weren't very nice about him, were we?
Well, he filmed a video of himself eating a banana with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
And I didn't approve.
No. I think I have a chip on my shoulder about anyone who calls themselves an etiquette expert as well, because I think, as I did point out last week, etiquette's not real. None of it matters.
Doubling down, Angela. This is supposed to be our on-air apology.
You're apologising, I'm not.
Oh,
bring
Angela,
it on, mate.
Please, I am responsible for the conduct of my guests. I was slightly mean. I don't know if William listens to the show or if somebody... grassed me up as somebody who's grassed up a cow to the police this week. I suppose I have to take that medicine as well.
I think he's got about 3 million followers or something on Instagram, so I imagine one of them might have grassed.
3 million.
Something like that. Yeah, he's got
a lot of followers in etiquette, isn't there? Maybe me and you will set up like an etiquette guide.
Yeah, should we do it?
Yeah, well, you've already said you eat the core of an apple, so that invalidates all future opinions.
However, anti-etiquette.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah,
featuring
there you go.
John Richardson and Angela Barnes. You've just got an apple seed coming out of your nose there. So William reached out and has got back in touch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so let's... I'm sure this will... This message is sent in. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't have all the appropriate hellos and with all the greatest respect, and look forward to hearing back in due course.
I tell you what, I know that we do this with all our calls, but I am paying so much attention to the grammar in this one.
Okay, well,
yeah. If there's the slightest deviation, I'm on it, mate.
Here is the impeccably mannered William Hansen.
Hello, John. It's William Hansen here. Can I just say thank you so much for mentioning my etiquette of how to eat a banana on your radio programme last weekend. I was very flattered to hear you discuss it. Obviously, as an etiquette coach, I can assure you that in my video, that was 100% the correct way as to how you should eat a banana. I'd be very happy to bring some bananas into the studio and show you some of the things I can do with them, if that's potentially up your alley, or at the very least, explain the reasoning behind it all. I will, of course, still manage to sleep, however, if you do not wish for that. With all good wishes, William.
Yes.
Get him in here. Get him in here.
I knew it.
I've got things to say. Get him in here.
Oh, that's not what I was expecting from William.
No.
It did. I think we should get him in. Just it did make me feel better. There's something. I'm not saying that we're rough, but there is something
John,
nice.
I don't think you need to say it.
I don't need to say it. There's something lovely about. Thank you so much. With all best wishes.
Do you think he could turn us into sort of posh people? Do you think we could like fake it till you make it kind of?
Yeah.
Thing. He could make us posh. Do you think that could happen?
Yes, I'm sure that's a possibility, Angela. I spotted a rather large bovine by the side of the Heathersage Road, and I do believe it's...
Did you call
a
the local constabulary?
I called, yes, the Dibble. I think he's got his work cut out, but I'm very...
I think he has, but I want him to try.
Very grateful, and stay tuned. William will be bringing his bananas into the studio to show us what he can do with them. His words, not mine. The misuse of the word literally... is out of hand. So we set up the literal police to imprison people who use it incorrectly in literal jail. It's been another busy week this week. Two cases to hear. The first ever repeat offence. Before we get to that, Barney has been in touch and he's got this offence to tell us about.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. I was scrolling aimlessly through socials and came across a clip of actor Nick Mohammed talking about his role on Ted Lasso, where he said it was literally luck that he found a new audience for Mr. Swallow from working on the show. Luck is more of a concept than something that is literal, so I believe this is worth an investigation. Cheers, Barney.
Interesting.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? This is a philosophical one.
It is philosophical, but that's, you know, these, we mustn't shy away from these areas, Angela.
No, you're right.
Especially now we have an on-air etiquette consultant. You know, there's a gravitas to this show now that there wasn't here 15 minutes ago.
True.
Now, I'm gonna declare an interest here because I am very upset with Nick Mohammed.
Oh, are you?
Because he has got a role in the forthcoming series of Slow Horses.
And that is, oh, yeah, that is upsetting. Slow Horses is brilliant.
It's brilliant, and make no bones about it, I'm jealous, and I want it.
Did you audition for it?
I wasn't even asked to audition because people don't know the talents that exist within me. They think I'm just a potty-mouthed, banana-critiquing cowgrasser. And actually, I am an artist. So I do have a vested interest in putting him in prison, purely so they have to recast that role and I might get it. But anyway, let's hear the specific sentence he used.
Particularly Ted Lasso, and particularly in terms of finding a new audience for Mr. Swallow. And that literally is luck, because that was the throw of the dice of a casting.
I think it's all right, John, because it literally is... Luck is a thing, like a sort of demonstrable thing. You know when someone's had some good luck and... You know.
Yeah. What I would ask you, Andrew, is what's the alternative to it literally being luck? It can't be any other kind of luck, can it? Well, there's only one kind of luck. It can't be metaphorical luck.
It could be bad luck.
It could be bad luck, but then it would still be luck, whether it's good or bad.
I don't think it's a prison term. No.
I don't think it's a prison term. I think what it is...
Literal awareness course?
A literal awareness course, and he probably just needs to step back from any public facing. I don't know if he's got any work coming up that I think it would be inappropriate while he's under investigation, I think, for him to be employed to speak to the nation directly. I'm just plucking names out of the air, but certainly you big corporations, your Apple TVs, you know, I wouldn't want to be seen on camera with him. I don't know if Gary Oldman is listening. You just want to be careful, really, I think, about appearing alongside Nick Mohammed in the near future.
I think just while it's under investigation, and you know, if he's got nothing to hide, then he shouldn't worry
absolutely
about that, you know?
Absolutely. And as soon as they've wrapped filming on season 5, then he's free to continue his duties.
And that's
my honest opinion, based on him misusing the word literally, and it's not to do with any professional jealousy whatsoever. So, literal awareness course, stand down from professional duties. We've got another offence. This one has been reported by Bruce.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report, and this time it really is a repeat offence. At about 6:55 on Sunday the 15th, during the Soccer Aid programme, Dermot O'Leary said that Sam Thompson was literally missing a limb. I'm sure that we'd have heard if Sam had indeed lost a limb. Turns out he was just worn out after cycling to Old Trafford with the match ball. But, as you'll remember as literal police commissioner, this is not his first offence. He's already locked up for saying he fell hook, line and sinker for something. Bang him up again! He clearly needs a harsher punishment. Keep it up, Bruce.
Dermot.
Let's have a listen.
This poor man has been on a one-man mission all the way from Stamford Bridge right here to Old Trafford just to hand-deliver the Soccer Aid match ball. We don't know what he'd done if he hadn't made it. He's literally missing limbs. He is.
Literally missing limbs. That's something you can't just be bandying that about, can you, John?
It's the reason that this feature was set up. Stop that sort of thing. It's perfectly fine to say, he's almost missing limbs or something like that.
He's
not literally missing limbs, is he?
No. As far as I know, he's got the full set, Sam Thompson.
Pick him up straight away. He said, this poor man. Yeah. And the one thing I understand Sam Thompson to be is probably not a poor man either.
Well, yeah,
so that's
quite
two offences.
Quite.
Two offences in one go. And this is not professional jealousy either, because I don't want to go near Soccer Aid. Nevertheless, I would present it next year because Dermot O'Leary, bang, in jail.
Slam dunk.
Thank you to Bruce. Thank you to Barney for reporting. If you spot any literal offences, get in touch with the Literal Police. John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. It's that time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news that perhaps could or should have been in the news. This is about my story. A man in New York who's playing golf. That in itself.
Already. Tedious man. God, I really hate golf. I hate golf because they take swathes of the countryside to just for posh men mostly. I know women play golf. My mum plays golf. But it's just it's that association it has with, you know, business deals, getting done on the golf course. It's all that. And also, I don't think you can call something a sport if you are so unlikely to break into a sweat, you can do it wearing a jumper.
Do you know what I think the suffering they do is? You know when you see them playing on telly and they've worn a baseball cap the whole way round and they lift their hats off and their heads look like raw mince underneath. They're sort of pink and soft.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Why aren't they ventilating their heads? I mean, I wore a baseball cap from, I'd say, the age of about 11 to 18, indoors and outdoors. You've just got to ventilate the forehead a little bit. It's fairly
simple
stuff. I
feel like this is a time for Will to play that sound of clip of you slapping your head.
Oh, me slapping my head? No, I think he will have deleted it.
Bet he hasn't. Oh, there it is.
There we go. I've got a feeling that's on the screen for other shows. That's what I'm worried about. That's become like an Absolute Radio wide sound effect. If I hear Emil playing it next week, well, slap my head. It's that time of the week. So this guy, you will not like this. He's played golf for, he's trying to set the world record for the longest ever golf game. I'm not going to cast aspersions on anybody else's work. When you are a world record holder yourself, I think it's important to support the endeavours of others.
Oh, here we go.
Others.
What's your world record,
Clang,
John?
Coolest dude in the world.
Yeah, right.
Took some verifying.
I'm looking at you right now.
They had to follow me around for a month. They were like, well, he hasn't put a foot wrong, this guy. I did the highest ever stand-up comedy gig 10-15 years ago now on a plane. I've got the world record.
Wow.
Thank you very much. If you can't do that kind of thing, I guess why not play golf? This guy's about 30 hours into his world record attempt. He's trying to do 24 hours,
right?
Around New York. And then he gets word, you're never going to believe this.
Right.
There's a guy in Norway right now trying to break the world record for the longest ever game of golf.
So they're like having a race?
They've no idea. They're continents apart.
Just a coincidence?
Just a coincidence. So,
wow.
Obviously, I don't think the guy in Norway gets told, because what could have happened then is they just get locked in a battle to the death where they're both just refusing to concede. They've been playing golf for four weeks.
What's that film? They shoot horses, don't they? You know, the dance competition where they're all just dying at the end.
I think what's happened is the Norwegian man doesn't get told there's a guy in New York, so he stops after 32 hours. So the guy in New York just goes on, I mean, 36 hours, I'm not belittling it. That's a day and a half playing golf. That's enough of anyone's
life. Yeah, most
of it's
just walking, isn't it?
It is. I would have liked to see it go on. And I think it doesn't sound that bad, does it? Do you reckon? I reckon we could break that world record.
I think we could. We should do it. Will, can you organise it?
Reckon we could do 37 hours?
Can you play golf?
I reckon it'd take me 37 hours to do a hole. So I reckon I could crack it without getting in anyone's way as well. But then we get wind that the Radio 1 breakfast show are trying to break the record as well.
Yeah.
And then we get locked into
and
a battle to the death.
And they're a lot younger than us, John.
No, they're not.
A lot younger.
They just sound younger. They just use the lingo. Do you know, I did a darts thing this week where I finished this, and it might not mean anything to you, Angela, but I finished from 301 in 7 darts, which is about as well as I've ever done.
Will looks impressed.
I hit a 1-2-1, then I hit a 1-4-2, then I took out double top first dart.
Ooh.
And I tell you what, if there'd have been someone else there to witness that, I'd have had a shred of joy in my life.
Were you on
Instead,
your own? Did you not?
I was on my own.
Oh,
I took a picture,
mate.
And I wrote on the picture of the double top what I'd scored to that point. And then I put brackets leathered, because I'd had a few. I thought, if these trends continue, think how good I'll be in an hour. And let me tell you, I don't think I ate another treble 20 for the full hour.
It was, but you have now horrific. Got a pierced ear. Swings yeah. around about.
Chucking them straight up, I was by the end. Angela, what have you seen in the news that wasn't in the news that should
have been?
I think you're
going to like this one, John, because I know how much you love a mosh pit.
Love a mosh pit, yeah.
So this is last weekend, it was the Download Festival.
Oh, I know. And shall I tell you how I know? Because they were all there. On the train back. No, God, no. But I made the mistake of getting a train to Leeds on Monday with people who'd been at Download Festival. And we did etiquette for festivals last week.
Yes, we did.
And we forgot to do etiquette for the journey home. And may I add to the list, stop talking about how tired you are because nobody cares.
Nice. Nice. I always like the first stinky. Service station after Glastonbury, where it's just full of muddy people washing on the Monday.
Yeah, I used to, when I lived in Swindon, that train route, you'd suddenly get it wrong. You'd think, I just have a quiet little train journey into London. And then it was absolutely full of people trying to get a tent into an overhead rack. Unbelievable. So anyway, Download Festival.
Anyway, Download Festival. The police had to issue a warning. I know you like the police, John. So again, this is right up your alley. I know that, close. You know. And the warning they had to issue was because, you know, like iPhones or other phones and watches, smartwatches and things, they have crash detection features now. So the idea being that if you're in a car or whatever and it crashes, it will send an emergency call out. Well, the problem is they keep going off in mosh pits. So they said that at Download Festival last year, they got 700 emergency calls.
Helicopters
turned
up.
People moshing, yeah. So they've had to warn people to turn the feature off or take their device off them if they're going to mosh at a festival. Isn't that amazing?
It's
so
a wonderful
story. This is a
public
service announcement as much as anything.
It is. And I tell you what, it's confirmation that I never want to be anywhere near a mosh pit. I don't think I was going to go in anyway, but at what rate are you bouncing?
One of my favourite things I've seen, when I was younger, I used to get down the front and get sort of involved a bit. Not proper, like I'd sort of get into it, but on the edge and watch it.
Mosh-ish.
And mosh-ish, yeah.
A mish pit.
Yeah. And my friend Jamie had, he had like a shaved head and then he had this sort of hair at the top that had beads in it, right? It was the 90s. Yeah. And I remember once seeing him mosh in a mosh pit and then he came away and he hadn't realised that his beads had got caught on this shorter guy and he just walked back dragging this poor bloke behind him.
Really he braided funny. Himself yeah. for someone in the middle of a mosh pit. It sounds absolutely horrendous. I do some pretty serious trampolining at points. I think, I wonder whether... It's never gone off on the trampoline, I don't think. But there's times when I do what I call a mega bounce. And, I get pretty high.
Have you got a trampoline? Can I come around and play on your trampoline? I love trampolines.
Yeah, it's a cracking trampoline as well. It's a really good one. Sometimes I go in it when my daughter's at school. Anyway.
It's good exercise, mate. Don't
It is good exercise. My
really
watch thinks
exercise.
I'm going for a run and I never tell it. Actually, on the trampoline, you fool. We are celebrating the return of Britpop Oasis, of course, back for their big gigs. Pulp on tour, Stereophonics, the Eras made a comeback. We're having a look at 1994, which is sort of the start of the Britpop era.
What a lovely time.
Definitely maybe for Oasis. Blur have just released Park Life. Where are you in 1994?
1994, 17, John, doing my A-levels. English drama, French and German, 4 A-levels did.
Nice.
And so I was in the first year of my A-levels, lower sixth. And it was that summer was a lovely summer. Because it was the summer I first sort of fell in love that summer. Aww. My first proper boyfriend. And it was lovely.
You've been surprisingly mean about anyone who's shown any affection towards you in the past. We've talked about some of your pranks on people who've wronged you. We've talked about some of your material based on your former relationships.
Yeah, not so this one though. This was a nice one.
This is a nice boy. So he's made you a mixtape.
And he made me a mixtape. And because mixtapes, that's what you did in the 90s, wasn't it? Little cassette tapes.
Yeah, it's a pressure thing, isn't it, making a mixtape? Because you're really saying, this is the kind of person I am, and like, I'm really cool.
Yeah, and it's right. It was, you know, fairly near the beginning of the relationship. So you still sort of like.
And
hey,
do those songs still remind you of that boy?
Some of them do, definitely. That's Stone Roses one, I Want to Be Adored, does for sure.
Was there a big thing because you lived in Maidstone when the Stone Roses released Made of Stone? Did you all used to sing?
None of us even noticed.
No, okay. So that would have been my big opener at parties. I'd have been straight on the mic DJing that. Well, we're going to start with, are you Maidstone?
No.
Anyway.
No.
Would you believe I didn't have any mixtapes made for me?
Did you not?
No. Used to make them for myself. I've got one called 100% Belters, and I've got one called The Mega Mix. You are 17 and in love, listening to the Lars.
Yeah.
I am going from primary school to high school. It's quite a big year for me.
That is a big year for everyone. I remember going up to the big school.
For the first, I would say the first few weeks of high school, I would take every textbook every day just in case I'd got the timetable wrong. Oh,
John, you would have broken your little back.
I had a very heavy back, and it was so heavy I had to carry it on two straps, and that doesn't go down well.
Not walking around at two straps. You couldn't do that.
The bigger boys would come up behind you and pull the middle bit and go, two straps, and they'd pull it down. I ended up sort of beached like a little turtle on my back. I couldn't get up. So yeah, it was a rude awakening. But I've brought in quite a few bits from 1994 that I've kept. So this proves the tragedy of my life. This is a certificate I got for taking part in a cross country race in 1994. Why would you? The C.P. Taylor Memorial Primary School's cross country race. I was 47th out of 131 children.
I genuinely thought you were going to say, well, I came third, so, you know, I've kept it.
Pretty pathetic. I'll tell you what I'm reading at the time. A lot of this.
Beavis and Butthead.
I also attend my first ever Leeds United match in 1994.
My dad
takes me on the coach to Elland Road.
Who
I'm terrified
on
the coach. Well, you see, this is a sign of how long ago it was. Playing Manchester City and we beat them 2-0, which I don't
know. That wouldn't happen now, would it?
Don't know when we'll next be beating Manchester City, but I guarantee Noel Whelan won't be on the score sheet as he was that day.
That football ticket.
Yes.
Can I just ask how much it was? Does it say on it?
It does. It was £7. We're in the South Stand. I was absolutely terrified. I got to a point where I didn't want us to score anymore because everyone went ballistic and I thought, I'm going to get swept away here. So I just thought...
Oh, mate!
It's very sort of... Not many 11-year-olds at their first football games. Let's just stick with two. 2-0's fine. Let's park the bus. And then I've got my report card from the day I left primary school. So this is my last report from Mrs. Hickson.
Aww.
I absolutely loved Mrs. Hickson.
Is she your teacher or your head?
She's my teacher. Mr. Penny is the head. I've got a certificate from Mr. Penny for consistently high levels of work. That's obviously on display.
Yeah,
I've got that on the mantelpiece. Another one for writing a nice poem. Since I promised Mark an artwork, he will be interested to know that Mrs. Hickson at age 11 says, I have excellent fine motor skills. I've worked with a range of media and produced some interesting work.
Was he interesting in inverted commas?
Yeah, all but. I think that tells you everything you need to know. This is interesting, right? Religious and moral education. John expresses empathy towards others.
Wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, would you?
No, that's not from the things you've said to me today. No.
The boy who goes on to host one of the saltiest shows on radio, who basically mean to his listeners for 3 hours. And finally, so this is Mrs. Hickson says of the 11-year-old John Richardson, he's a very nice person with a brilliant sense of humour.
Oh, she knew.
She knew, didn't she?
Have you seen or spoken to Mrs. Hickson since you've been a comedian?
Not since I became a comedian, no. I saw her in a pub once, but I was too shy to go over because it still felt like it was a teacher in a pub.
She might be listening.
Well, if she is, then may I thank you for... she was very encouraging in a way that not a lot of teachers are. She's put the sky's the limit.
Honestly, a good teacher changes your life completely.
Yes. Well, do you know, I lost one this week. Mr. McCafferty, who was one of my favourite language teachers at my high school. He was one of the few who really engaged. He was a very sweet man and he passed away this week.
Oh,
so I shall dedicate this week's show to Mr. McCafferty. And I hope all the boys who were mean, because he was very nice and he didn't shout at anyone. And as a result, the behaviour in his lessons was appalling.
Oh.
And I was the one sat at the front smiling up with my little glazed eye saying, I'm listening, Mr. McCafferty.
Oh, it sounds like, you know, when you do a gig that's really rowdy and unplayable and they're all drunk and you've got the like two people at the front who are comedy fans who are looking at you like, I want to hear what you've got to say.
We've driven for 3 hours to come to this.
Yeah.
So to Mr. McCafferty and to Mrs. Hickson and to all the good teachers out there, my thanks. That's us for another week, Angela.
Yeah.
Thank you for your company.
Thank you. I've had a lovely day.
Good. Isn't it warm, though?
Isn't it warm?
Oh, it's warm, isn't
Imagine,
it?
Imagine, John, you had to now drive to Liverpool, because that's what I've got to do.
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I tell you, that's a marriage ender, that.
Ooh, well, we'll see.
Hot drive. Hot drive with a dog to get
he
a ferry.
He made me poutine last week, though, so... for the Canadian Grand Prix. What is wrong with you people?
It's fine. You just put all the pauses in the wrong place, is all I'm going to say. It's a perfectly fine sentence, but you've got to go at it at speed. He made me poutine for that. That's how you say it. You don't say he made me poutine. You've got to get through it.
Sorry, my bad. I think Will's got a very bright shade of red in here.
Well, it's hot, Angela.
It is warm.
I don't know, we haven't mentioned it,
warm,
but it is
it?
Hot.
Warm.
Have a wonderful weekend. We need to name the podcast of the show for those who weren't available to listen to the full thing.
Move that cow out the way.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't quite listened to anything anyone said since you said that's weed on my worm. We'll go with, let's go with Move Closer, shall we? Or something
like
that.
Oh, nice. There we are.
It's a nice musical reference. That podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. We are back next week with more. Thank you to Will and Charlie. Thank you to everybody who has left voice notes and texted in. It's been a joy to read your messages. And thank you to you, Angela.
Thank you, John. I'll see you next week.
Safe travels. Take care, everyone.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's very difficult to say The John Richardson Show. Can you say The John Richardson Show?
This is The John Richardson Show.
That's it for this week's podcast. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. If you want to join in next week, you're back with us, I think, next week, Angela.
I am back next week, yes. Wonderful. Just you try and stop me, John. And I know you will try, but you can't. Oh.
If what I don't do, hopefully a long car journey and a ferry ride with a dog will do. So I wish you all the best. Have a wonderful week.
And you,
we'll
mate.
We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.